Well, you know, when you see me up here this early, you know it's a very special service that's ahead of us. As I was thinking about what message I wanted to give this morning as an encouragement to all of us, especially remembering our graduates that were recognized, my mind goes back to my own time of graduation from high school, which was not that long ago, believe it or not. Back to all the thoughts and feelings and emotions that were rushing through me at that time. Graduation really is a special and unique time of life. Probably not as special and as unique as I felt like it was in that moment back then, but still, graduation is a very significant transition point in life. It is one that brings with it equal parts excitement as well as sometimes fear or terror. And I know that was the case at least for me. If your situation is anything like what mine was for many of you, who are graduating or about to graduate in the next couple of years, you've lived your whole life in the same house, on the same street, seeing the same people week after week. And suddenly some of you are in a few months facing the prospects, at least potentially, of living in a brand new place, in a brand new city surrounded by brand new people doing brand new things. And even if not, most of you are now getting to the point where you're not going to be limited anymore by your family's schedule or transportation uses. You are, for lack of a better term, going to be more free. You're going to have more opportunities to control your own schedule as you grow older, to control your own calendar, your own activities. So the question is, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to center that newfound freedom around that you'll find in your life as you grow older? Well, to help answer that question biblically, I'd like us all to turn to Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Galatians chapter 5. Due to our time constraints this morning, we're going to be looking at just one verse in this chapter of Galatians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul, moved by the Holy Spirit, gives to all of us, not just graduates, but all of us, he gives to us guidance on how to rightly use the freedom that God gives to us. In Galatians 5:13, Paul writes, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." This is the word of God who gives our souls life according to his word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity we have this morning to open up your word and consider it for these next few minutes in light of what we're about to engage in as a church body and in light of the transition that's happening in several of the members of our church in graduation. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes to behold your truth. We pray that your spirit would be at work so that we might understand it. And more than understand it, Father, that we might believe it. And that we would be desirous to obey it and to live for your honor and glory. Father, in advance about what we were going to look at this morning, I thank you for the freedom that is found in Jesus Christ. Help us to love that freedom so much that we live in it. Show us what that means this morning, Father. We pray in your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul states here in Galatians 5:13, he says, first, "For you were called to freedom, brothers." Here Paul is addressing brothers. That is adelphos in the Greek, and it means those who are from the same womb. And here Paul is speaking metaphorically and spiritually. In other words, he's talking to all believers, all of those who have been born again by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus for salvation, all of those who through Christ Jesus have been adopted into his family. And Paul reminds us, those of us who have experienced this new birth, that you were called to freedom, brothers. In other words, when God called us to salvation, when he called us into one family through faith in Jesus Christ, he called us to a life of experiencing freedom. To be a child of God is to be someone who has been set free. You have to say, well, free from what? Well, Paul's been unpacking that for the Galatians ever since the beginning of this letter. So let's start a 6-month study. No, I'm just kidding. But Paul essentially says here that these believers have been set free in this letter from sin. That's his point. They've been set free from sin in two primary ways. First, they've been set free from the penalty of sin. And second, they've been set free from the power of sin. So first, I want you to remember, just as Paul wants us to remember this morning, that you and I who have trusted in Jesus Christ for our salvation, we have been set free from the penalty that would come upon us because of our sins. You see, after Paul reminds us back in chapter 3, verse 10, that all those who rely on the works of the law, so in other words, all those who trust in their works, all those who trust in the things that they do to merit salvation, all of those people, Paul says, are under a curse. He then tells us, though, in verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He set us free from it. Free from the penalty of our sins. How? By becoming a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So when we trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation, we don't have to fear God's wrath or condemnation over our sins anymore, because Jesus, as our representative, as the one that we've trusted in, Jesus already paid that penalty in our place. He already took that wrath and condemnation for our sins in our place. That is why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He took the curse, the wrath reserved for our sins in himself, so that we could be set free, so that we would not fear that wrath or condemnation anymore through faith in him. As Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. To be a believer in Jesus Christ, to be a child of God, is to be set free, free from the penalty that should come upon us because of our sins. We've been forgiven. We've been set free from the penalty of sin. We've also been set free from the power of sin. Paul goes on later in this chapter, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. He says, and those who belong to Jesus Christ, he says, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There's been a marked change in your relationship with sin through faith in Jesus Christ. Again, chapter 6, verse 14, he states that by the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. See, before, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, as Ephesians 2 teaches. I mean, we didn't have to wake up in the morning and decide, I'm going to try to lie today. I'm going to try really hard. It just naturally happened. We were dead in it. We were overcome by sin. We didn't sit there and think, I think if I work really hard, I can be disrespectful to my parents today. Oh, trust me, that came very natural. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Overcome by it. Completely overcome by sin's power. But now, being united to the victorious life and power of Jesus Christ by faith, sin no longer has dominating power over us. Its dominating influence has been broken. And so we no longer have to follow sin's passions. We can now live for the glory of God. We have new affections now. Affections that long to live for God. We don't have to follow sin's passions anymore. As Paul says in Romans 6, verse 14, for sin shall no longer have mastery over you, because you're no longer under the law, but under what? Grace. Grace. We've been set free from the power of sin. So we've been set free from the penalty, and we've been set free from the power of sin. We've been redeemed. That's what the word redeems mean, or means. To be a child of God is to be set free, and Paul wants us to remember that this morning, with the intention that we might live in that freedom. As he said back in verse 1 of this chapter, it is for freedom that Christ has made you free. Can you imagine how sad it would be to be set free and not live like it? To be free and yet still live like you're a slave? Well, in fact, that's exactly what happened in some areas of the British Empire after slavery was abolished on August 1st, 1838. Slavery ended on that date, but some slaves that were located in the most remote colonies of Great Britain never heard about it until months later. I don't know about you, I would have been pretty put out if I found out I'd been working for months as a slave when I had in fact been free. Though they were free, they lived like slaves for months. Paul doesn't want that to happen to us spiritually, to any of us at all. He wants us all to know that we are free, free from the penalty and free from the power of sin. Just as Jesus declares to us in John 8:36, if the Son makes you free, then you shall be free indeed. But the question is, well then, how do we live like it? What should we do with this newfound freedom? How should we use it? Well, Paul answers that question at the end of this verse. For after he reminds us that we've been called by God to freedom, he then states, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So all of us have received freedom in Christ. We've been set free from sin. The question is, how are we going to use that freedom now? Paul warns us first, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Now the flesh here is described as our fallen, sinful, unredeemed humanness. The flesh is that, you could put it this way, our fleshly, bodily part about us that's still unredeemed, that is still infected by sin and weakness and is still influenced by sin's perverse passions. And Paul warns us here that one of the main ways that our sinful flesh tries to reassert influence over us as believers, listen to this, is through our spiritual freedom. Let me say that again. One of the main ways our sinful flesh tries to reassert influence over us as believers is by using our spiritual freedom. Our flesh attempts to use our freedom as a justification for living for ourselves and to pervert our freedom from sin into a freedom to sin. And Paul here is pointing out how nonsensical that is. Why would you want to live for the very sin that once dominated and damned you, that once enslaved and crushed you? Don't look at your freedom from sin, Paul says, as an opportunity to sin, and there as an opportunity to live for yourself. And that is, by the way, exactly how the unredeemed live. They will take any freedom that they have, and they will use that as a freedom to sin. This is how you used to live before you were saved. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul describes those who were still dead in their sins, and he said that they were lovers of self, proud, arrogant, swollen in self-conceit, lovers of pleasure. Does that describe our culture today? Social media couldn't exist without that description. Lovers of self, proud, arrogant, swollen in self-conceit, lovers of pleasure. And again, Philippians 2 verse 3, Paul makes it clear that selfish ambition and vain conceit are marks of those who are outside of Christ. See, the unredeemed, they're not committed to loving God or loving their neighbor as themselves. They're committed to loving themselves and living for themselves. And so were we. But Christ has died to set us free from that underlying selfishness that once enslaved us. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says this, he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Or again, 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20, you are not your own because you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your bodies, which are God's. Christ has died to set us free from the selfishness that once enslaved us. And so Paul is reminding us here that God has not given us freedom to go back into the dreadful dungeon, of loving, of thinking, and of living for ourselves. We've been set free from that. Which brings us to Paul's next point. While our flesh tells us that freedom is an open door to live for ourselves, the Holy Spirit in this passage tells us that freedom is in fact an open door to at last be able to live for others. As Paul says next, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love do what? Serve one another. Serve one another. That's why Christ gave himself in love for us. It's so that we would be set free to give ourselves in love to one another. This is exactly what Paul says in Romans 15, 1 through 3. He says this, we have an obligation, brothers, not to please ourselves, but for each of us to please his neighbor, for his good to build him up. Why? For Christ did not please himself. Christ did not think about his own interests. He thought about our interests. He did not think about his comfort. He thought about our eternal good. He did not think about what he deserved. He thought about what he desired to give us. Christ did not please himself. And we have an obligation not to please ourselves, but for each of us to please his neighbor for his good to build him up. And that is why you and I have been set free from sin and selfishness. It's so that we can live free from sin and selfishness. It's so that we can live for Christ through serving one another. Just as 1 Peter 4:10 states, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So we have been set free to serve. Set free to serve. And I wanted to remind us all of that this morning, especially those of you who are approaching graduation, approaching greater freedom. You've been called to freedom, brothers. Those of you who have trusted in Jesus for your salvation, you've been set free from sin and selfishness. And not only that, but you're now entering into a period of your life where more freedom will be entrusted to you, perhaps for many of you starting this summer. So what are you going to do with that freedom? How are you going to invest that time? As you find more opportunities to control your own schedule and calendar, as you find yourself less constrained by your family's appointments and activities, as you find yourself entrusted by God with more freedoms, what will you center all of that around? Are you thinking to yourself, hallelujah, I can finally do all the things I've been wanting to do for 18 years. See you later, people. Then I would be very concerned for your soul. Because the soul of a child of God sees freedom and sees the opportunity to serve others more rather than serve themselves. Because this is exactly how Christ served us. What will you center that freedom around? And for all of us here who have been entrusted with great freedom, both physical and, for many of us, spiritual, what are you centering your freedom around? Oh, I'm so thankful for the nation that I live in. I hope you are. We've been given some wonderful freedoms here. Freedom to do what? What are you investing your freedoms in? Freedoms to live for myself, to build up my wealth, to build up my retirement fund, to build up my American dream, or to build the kingdom of God and to serve others just as Christ served me. What are you centering your freedoms around? For we've been called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. I urge you, by the grace of God that is given to us, let's center our freedoms not on living for sin and for selfishness, but on living for Christ this summer, specifically through serving one another. For that is why we as a church exist in our freedom. We have been set free to serve. And I wanted to remind you all of that, even as Paul wanted to remind those Galatians. And we as a church want to help us all in that way. And this service is one of the unique ways throughout the year that we try to do this. You see, we're deliberately ending this service early today because right now, through these two side doors into Grace Hall, we have set up our church-wide ministry fair that's designed, crafted, to encourage all of us to not just hear, oh, I should serve one another, but to actually put feet to the truth and be able to learn about all the different ways in our church by which we can serve one another for the glory of God. And so let me remind all of us how this is going to work this morning. In a few minutes, I'm going to say a closing prayer, and you're all going to be dismissed for the rest of the service time through these side doors into Grace Hall. In the center of the room, this is the most important part for many of you, you will find finger food and snacks set up for you to enjoy. Grab yourself a plate, and then explore the rest of the room. In the hall as you're entering, or you see to the left, right as you walk in through the door, a table with a big basket on it with some bright orange forms on it. Those forms are directory update forms. And so if you're not in our church directory yet, or if you are but you suspect that you need to update one of your pieces of information, or if you're a junior high or a high schooler that would like to be included in our church emails, fill out one of those forms before you see everything else, drop it off in the basket, and we'll update that information for you. The second thing that you'll see as you explore the room is various tables and booths that are set up around the outskirts of Grace Hall. Each one of those booths represent one of the major ministry opportunities of our church that you can learn about and that believers involve themselves here at Grace Chapel. And these booths will be hosted by several representatives from each ministry who can tell you more about that ministry and answer any questions that you have. And though each booth will be slightly different from another, right, they'll all have different information, different focuses, there should be at least on every table a form that if you're interested in learning more about that ministry, you can put down your name on it, and that gives the opportunity for that representative to contact you later about your interest in that ministry and reach out to you about that. So I'd encourage you during these next few minutes to walk around, to ask a lot of questions about all of the booths, to just enjoy the fellowship, acclimate yourself to the ministries of our church, and most importantly of all, to prayerfully consider what area of ministry God might be calling you to serve in for this coming year for your glory. Because that is why you and I are here. We are here not to live for ourselves by ourselves. We are here to live with each other, for each other, for the glory of God. We've been set free to serve. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Let's do that for the glory of God who has set us free starting right now as a church. So with that in mind, as the Ministry Fair volunteers are dismissed at this time to take their places at their booths, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity that we have this morning to learn more about this church that you have been building here called Grace Chapel. We thank you, Father, for how you have done a work in all of our hearts, that you have done a work of freedom. We thank you for Jesus, the great liberator and victor of his people, who has come and set us free, free from the penalty of sin so that we would not fear condemnation, and free from the power of sin so that we could be set free from selfishness and at last live for you and for your people. Father, I pray that this morning we would set a habit for ourselves for the rest of this summer to make a dedication to serve you by serving one another here at this church. Father, we know that that's why we're here. You've drawn us together as a body, as members of a body, to work together. So help us to do that. Help us to build each other up in love for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. And may this ministry fair be just a simple way that leads to that end of a church that builds itself up in love and in truth for the glory of Jesus. Bless our time, Father, and I pray that you would lead each and every one of us during this ministry fair to some area of ministry that you would have us to engage in for this new year. Help us, Father, to use our freedom for the service of others this summer. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.